To 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm not going to read all the passage, but we'll be reading many of the verses as we go along tonight. Now, for many of you that remember, a couple of times ago I spoke on the early life of King David. This was before he was a king. And we looked at his courage for God. And then probably the last time I spoke, we also looked at Proverbs chapter 3. And we looked at Solomon and his wise counsel for his son. And as I looked at these two passages and meditated and studied, the next verses that carried on from each passage of the last two messages went together hand in hand. And so tonight I would like to look at that as we look and carry on with the theme of young King David and his courage. And tonight, the subject I'd like to look at tonight is courage in action. Courage in action. The last time, if you remember, I'll just bring you quickly up to speed with where we were up to last time. We left him, that's King David, asking why the giant Goliath was able to defy God in front of all the children of Israel and all their armies, and why he, David, was the only one questioning why. With the only one saying, who's going to go and fight this giant? And we saw that the Lord had departed from King Saul for his disobedience, and that David had secretly been anointed the new king. And then the last time that I spoke, when we looked at Proverbs, we looked at the first four verses of Proverbs, the wise counsel that Solomon had for his son and for us today. And so, like I say tonight, I'd like to look at, and we'll just read again those couple of verses in Proverbs. Don't turn there, stay in Samuel. And then we're going to look at this next part of Samuel. Before we look at God's word tonight, let's just pray and commit these things to him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that we can meet in this way. Lord, we pray that you'll just... Lord, clear our minds and help us, Lord, to be able to concentrate on your word, and that, Lord, you'll teach us new truths from your word. We pray you would encourage us, and, Lord, that you'll uplift each and every one that's tuned in tonight to follow you. And, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be encouraged, our hearts will be blessed, and we pray that you will just be with each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a young fellow growing up, these two verses in Proverbs, every birthday card I received every year from my parents had these two verses written in one of the pages of those cards. And these verses go like this, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, every birthday card every year had the same verses in it. And I'm thankful for it. These verses were often come to mind. And I believe I'm still grasping the concepts of these verses. I'm still grasping the truths and the depths in these verses. These verses that Solomon gave to his son as wisdom that he was imparting to his son and to the young people who read. And so, as we look tonight, we'll see how the two go hand in hand as we look at young King David. And the last time I spoke, I was very short. I promised I would be very short. And so tonight, we'll see how we go, all right? We'll see how we go. And so... I've got a few points tonight, a few, and then I've got a few more after that, okay? So we'll see how we go tonight. Courage in action, courage in action. Looking at 1 Samuel 17 And starting where we left off was at verse 31. And we're just going to read verses 31 and 32 to start with. And it says this: "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." My first point tonight, I've called the king that called. The king that called. The courage of young David here is plain to see. His courage has been echoed throughout the army of Israel, and has made its way back to the king. Been brought it to the attention of the king. Do you remember what he said back in verse 26? He said this: "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You can hear the courage in David's voice here. He says, "Can't you see this man stands not only against us, but he stands against God. He stands against God himself." These words that David spoke were rehearsed to the king, and he was called before the king. And so in verse 33, we see this. Look on with me in verse 33. He came in before the king. And so in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go on against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." The first thing that happens when David comes in before the king straight away shares his concerns with David about why he shouldn't go. And he gives him three reasons. He gives him three reasons why he shouldn't go. The first one is that he says, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." So the first one he says, "You're unable. You can't go and fight against him. You're not good enough to go and fight against the Philistine." And then if we read on, he says the second thing. He says, "For thou art but a youth." Secondly, "You're too young. You are too young to go and fight this Philistine." And then the third thing the king says to him, he says, "And he is a man of war from his youth." Goliath has too many years of experience as a soldier for you to go and fight with him. You know, possibly I think this is coming from Saul's lack of courage, and maybe even a feeling of guilt because he himself lacks the ability to trust God and to go and fight the giant himself. Do you know, when God lays it upon a believer's heart to do something great for him, there is always opposition to it, always. And David didn't have any exception here. He could have just said, "Well, the king doesn't want me to go and fight him, and he's pretty big. Maybe I should just not go." No, there was none of that. Nothing was mentioned of that. My second point I'd like to look at is the man that trusted God. The man that trusted God. David, he wastes no time in his reply. Have a look in verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 35, "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." David says to Saul, he says, "Even though you think I'm only a young fellow, I have had some experience." He said, "I have killed a lion and a bear." Both of these animals had taken a lamb from the flock. He was protecting his flock as a good shepherd does. And as you think on these things that David brought up, I was only thinking that God was preparing David for what was going to happen in the future. Do you know that in the future, David would become the king of Israel? He would become the leader, if you like, the shepherd of that group of people. And even as a humble shepherd caring for a flock of sheep, God was preparing him to be the next leader. The next leader of the nation of Israel. David was faithful in the small things. And Pastor talked about that there not long ago. He goes on to say, have a look in verse 36. David goes on, "Thy servant both slew the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." You know, David says to Saul, this giant is no different. This giant is no different from that bear and that lion. The bear and the lion have teeth and claws, and the giant has a spear and a sword. But to David, you can see by his words here that he didn't consider them any different. There was no difference. He trusted God. He was a man that trusted God. And he trusted in the Lord. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." David trusted God. You can see his trust here. It's clear to see. He trusted God. The third thing I'd like to see is the Lord that delivered. The Lord that delivered. David says here in verse 37, more importantly, he says, listen to this, "More importantly, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." David likens the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear to the hand of the Philistine. And another thing we'll see here, he was delivered by the Lord. That's past tense. You look at that. The Lord that delivered me, past tense. And then he says, he will deliver me. That's future tense. That's faith. His trust in God, he said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. We see his trust in God, and his trust in God grows his faith. His faith and his trust then turn to courage, a courage that was not seen in the armies of Israel. Faith to move forward, not knowing what would happen in the future. The rest of the story hadn't yet been written when we get to this point. David was standing before the king willing to go. And then we see Saul says this famous line. He says this, he says, "Go and the Lord be with thee." And when I thought about that, I thought, can you imagine this big man, Saul, his head and shoulders above all the rest of Israel, and David is obviously not a huge fellow because everyone's looking down at him, and Saul doesn't think he can fight the Goliath, so obviously he wasn't a big man. And Saul says, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Off you go. Yep, go. And so we see in verse 38, Saul tried to make a contribution to this fight. And it says in verse 38, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him." Saul's contribution to the fight was to load David up with his armor, with his own armor. We know how big a man that Saul was. He was head and shoulders above the people. I can imagine him putting the helmet onto his head and the front of it flashing down over the tops of his eyes because his head probably wasn't as big. I can imagine the coat of mail going on him and it being that heavy you could hardly lift his arms. I can imagine the sword going upon his armour. And it says there, and he essayed to go. That word essayed means he felt foolish to go. He delayed going. And you can see there, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And you can see there, that's what he thought, and then he said it. He said unto Saul, he said, I can't go with these things, for I haven't proved them. I can't go with all this. I can hardly move. I can hardly walk in it, never mind fight in it. And David put that armour off him. I can hear David saying, this is just delaying, this is just wasting time. We need to be out there fighting Goliath. And so we see David sets off. David sets off, leaves King Saul. The next point I'd like to look at is the Philistine that cursed. The Philistine that cursed. If we look at verse 40, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40, it says this, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David took what he had. He gathered what he had. He used what God had already provided. He didn't need coat of armor. He didn't need any weapons. He did what he knew. He served how he knew he could serve. He stopped at the brook and picked up the 5 stones out of the brook. And he walks towards the battlefield. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that David uses the stone or the rock that God had made there. When we think about our Saviour being the rock of our salvation. You know, when the giant, he was using a sword and a shield that were made by man, David only had what God had made, didn't he? That's all he had. But he took what he had, he took what he knew, he took what God had provided for him, and he headed out. And it tells us in verse 41, it says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. This Goliath was so big, he needed a man to carry his shield in front of him. You can imagine the size of the shield. You know, you can imagine this party heading down the hill toward the valley. And it says this in verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about, he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. It says, and when the Philistine looked about, it sort of means to me that he didn't see him at first glance. It says that he looked about, and he saw David. It says there that he disdained him. The word disdained there means he didn't even think he was worth showing any attention to. Insignificant. He probably couldn't believe his eyes when he saw him and the size of him. He was no threat to him. And we can see this by the next verse, what he says in the next verse. He says in verse 43, he says, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David, by his gods. Notice there that small g there. It wasn't the true God. They were the gods of the Philistines. And the Philistine says to David, why do you come to me with staves? The word staves here means a staff, simply just a staff. He had his shepherd's staff in his hand. It tells us that. Back in verse 40 it says, and he took his staff in his hand. Don't know what he was going to do with the staff, but that's what he had. That was his shepherd's the tools of trade, I suppose you could say. And he had it in his hand, and he said, "Am I a dog that you're going to come to me with a staff in your hand?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. This giant expected a man of war. He expected an armored man, a man of equivalent stature, and a man of an equivalent fighting man. But what he sees is a young man coming towards him, just a youth. Notice the pride of the giant. He says here, "Am I a dog?" You know, in the next verse he says, "Come to me." It was all about him, wasn't it? He thought he was unbeatable, unbreakable. His pride was clear to see, whereas the humility of David was clear to see. He says, "Do you think you can come and throw stones at me like a dog?" And David was then cursed by the Philistine, by his gods. We would see if these gods would answer, if they would have any effect on David. They wouldn't. In verse 44, the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." The giant then explains to David what he will do with him after he kills him. He will feed him to the fowls and to the beasts of the field. He didn't consider David at all. Considered him as nothing. The next point I'd like to look at is the man that acknowledged God. The man that acknowledged God. Let's read on in verse 45. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Do you know, this verse, David says to him, "You come bringing the sword and the spear and the shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." I see this as Proverbs 3 and verse 6 in action. Courage in action. It says in Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." David says, "Hang on, don't look at me. I'm only the one carrying the message. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David explains to the giant that he's not armed with man's armor, swords and armor, but he has the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the great I am, the Jehovah God, is with him. He has acknowledgement of God. His trust and his faith in God just come out in everything he says. David here acknowledges God and gives God the glory for the coming battle. See that? He gives God the glory for the battle, even though it's not done yet. I remember as a young fellow growing up, I hope he doesn't mind me telling the story, Dave Kaufman, a great friend of mine and a missionary, he's a missionary to Africa, and I treasure him and his family as great friends of ours. And I remember as a young fellow growing up, he would actually preach at church a bit as he was going to college and training to go to the mission field. And I would come and shake his hand and thank him for his message. And he would always say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And then sometimes he would give me a lift home. And I would say, "Thank you for the lift home." And he would say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And you'd go over to his house for dinner and you'd say, "You know, thanks for having us over for dinner. We had a great time tonight." And he would say, "Praise the Lord." He acknowledged God. Didn't matter what you praised him for or what you thanked him for, it was always the same response. Praise the Lord. Praise him. It was a great testimony to me as a young man growing up. I'm thanking him for it. The need to acknowledge God. God blesses us with so much, we should acknowledge him in everything. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him in Proverbs 3. Do we acknowledge God? David acknowledged God. He was still standing there in front of Goliath. The battle hadn't started yet, and he was acknowledging God. The next point I'd like to see is the earth that knew. The earth that knew. David continues talking to Goliath in verse 46, and he says this, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." The earth that knew. David says here, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand. God is going to give me the victory. And he said, what's more than that? I'm going to feed the rest of the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to the fowls of the air. Do you know, this is what he said he would, the Goliath, would do about David. And David says, no, he said, that's not going to happen. He says, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines will be fed to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? So that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The earth that knew. Everyone, he wanted to know not how good he was, but how good God was. He honored the Lord and praised the Lord. All the glory he wanted to go to God himself. And we see he went further than that. In verse 47 he says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David says, not only that all the earth may know that there is a God, but that all this assembly here, the armies of Israel were behind him. The armies of the Philistines were in front of him. All eyes would have been on this duel that was going to happen. That all this assembly shall know what? Shall know that the Lord saves. The Lord saves. God was going to save David from Goliath. And you know, tonight, the message is still the same. Jesus saves. Jesus still saves. The Lord saves. Just as the Lord was about to save David from Goliath, God can save you from your sins. God can save you from eternal punishment in hell, like we all deserve. We just have to trust him, believe on him, and accept his free gift of salvation. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. We just have to accept his gift of salvation open to whosoever will. Acts 16:31 says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise. For the battle is the Lord's. You know, David didn't take this battle to heart, if you like. It wasn't that Goliath wasn't actually attacking him. Goliath was attacking God. And David proved that by what he said. The battle is the Lord's. This battle is not between you and me. This is between God and the devil. Do you know that he said to him, he said, "All this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with a sword and a spear." The earth that knew. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He gave all the glory to God. All the glory to God. Then I'd like to see, my next point is the giant that fell. The giant that fell. In verse 48, it says this, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." God gave the victory. God gave David the victory. But you know, before the victory was won, if we see there that David hasted and run toward the army to meet the Philistine, David still had to run headlong towards that giant. Before the victory was had, his faith and trust in God had to energize him in a path straight towards that giant. The battle still had to be won. David had claimed the victory for God, but he still had to go and fight the battle. Do you know, this sometimes happens in our lives. There are giants that are stopping us from reading God's word and praying. Giants that stop us doing what is right. Giants that try and make us fall into sin. Giants of disappointment that come when someone we looked up to has let us down. Giants of discouragement. It's easy to become discouraged. Giants of hurt, where a Christian has hurt us and we can't bring ourselves to forgive them. These are giants that can stand in our way of our Christian lives. Whatever the giant is in your life that is stopping you from loving the Lord and living for Him, God can help us remove these things. If we acknowledge Him, trust Him, have faith in Him, our prayers will be answered. These giants can be removed. But we need to have courage to face them. Courage to face these giants. And this is courage in action. These courage as to propel us forward to tackle these things in our lives that are holding us back. I think if we're all honest before God, every one of us have them. Every one of us have them. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. We have to acknowledge Him in our ways. He will show us the path. The path in our lives may be to take down some giants out. And then it goes on, the story goes on in verse 50, and it says this, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." God gave David the victory over the Goliath. No sword in his hand. Nothing that extra that David could have done, God gave him the victory. The next point I'd like to look at is the courage that came. The courage that came. In verse 52 we see this, "And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wound of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." Isn't it amazing that one man's victory can give courage to so many? We see all these men of Israel and Judah sitting there, discouraged, none of them wanted to take on the giant. The battle was paused. The battle had stopped. One man's victory, seeing God work, seeing his courage for God, brought courage to all those men behind him. It says there, and the men of Judah and Israel arose and shouted. You can imagine the noise of that shout when the Goliath was beaten. It says, and they, not only did they shout, but they pursued the rest of the Philistines. The battle still wasn't over. The battle hadn't been finished. But courage came to all these men who were there sitting down. And it says they arose. They got up. Isn't it amazing that one person's courage can encourage many, many people? I was encouraged by Brother Dave Kaufman as a young fellow. There's been many times where there's been people encourage one another. And victory in our Christian lives can encourage another brother or sister. Victory in our lives can bring hope to another brother or sister who is struggling with maybe the same thing we are. When the giant is pushed out of the way, when he's taken out of the way, the Lord can win the battle. And all the men arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. One man's courage promoted courage to so many. The last thing I'd like to see is the wise son that honoured. The wise son that honoured. Look at verse 55. We'll just read a few verses here. And it says, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Who is this? It seems as even if King Saul has forgotten who he was. Now, it could have been some time between Saul, when King Saul asked David to come and play the harp. It doesn't tell us. Many commentators say it could have been some time between these. Either that or King Saul just didn't want to recognize him. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us why, but King Saul didn't recognize who he was. Saul asks, whose son is this? Whose son is this? Do you know, one of the proverbs that Solomon wrote says this, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Do you know, David, he brought honor to his family, didn't he? He brought honor to his father, Jesse the Bethlehemite. Through that victory, he brought glory to his earthly father. And you know, through victories over the giants in our lives, we bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. We bring glory to Him. Every time we have victory over sin, God is exalted. Every time that we share the Lord Jesus Christ with others, God is acknowledged. When we help our neighbour, God is honoured. We can all take encouragement from young David. We can all take encouragement from his courage. And there's some of us, and I'm probably in this group, that sometimes aren't as courageous as they need to be. But we can all take courage from young David. And in these days in which we're in, encouragement is what we need. We need to encourage each other. We need to have courage to encourage each other. We need to have courage to stay close to the Lord, to read his word, and to defeat those giants in our lives that keep us from his word, keep us from what he wants us to do. The reason being is so that our lives will acknowledge God and he will lead our paths. May we take that encouragement from young David, from this story. Have courage to live for God, that our lives will acknowledge him and honour him. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of your word and how we read this great story about David and how he defeated Goliath with your help. And Lord, the battle was yours. You defeated the giant, but Lord, you gave him the courage to go. And Lord, we pray for each and every one of us. Lord, help us, give us the courage to stand up for you, to acknowledge you, to Lord, spend time with you in prayer and reading your word, to become closer to you, to defeat the giants that are in our lives that stop us from having that relationship with you. We pray that you'll just be with us all tonight. And we pray that you'll bless us as we sing this final hymn. In Jesus' name, amen.